Janae and Golden Jr., the podcast.
You heard me. You can get all the smoke right here, right now. Me and mine versus you and yours. All right. I've got the jumpers. I guess Junior's got the box outs. We are pretty much LeBron and AD or Kyrie and KD, whichever one you want to pick. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr., happy Monday, everybody. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Why? Did you want to throw James in there or
no,
something?
No, any of those comparisons weren't great for me. I was going to say, those were all way better comps than I was expecting. I was expecting you to go back and find some like old white 90s basketball player to like for me. So.
I was thinking LeBron and maybe your JR. I don't know. Who cares? As long as you remember the time, all right? But we are in sports overload, and we really love it because the NFL stop making the sound. The NFL is now officially at 17 regular season games, which was the big news today. Plus, we've got March Madness raging on, especially today. And by the way, y'all, the Pac-12 is crushing it. And we did the NCAA tournament winners already, and now we'll get to the losers of the NCAA tournament this past week in about 10 minutes, which goes against our character, but we're delivering the content you really need. And of course, in the middle of all the games, you know, it was crazy this weekend. We're watching March Madness. It's been fun. And then we start seeing, Junior, the arms race. So get this sound ready. I want you to make sure you get the sound ready. You're going to have to fill in the gap with the right sound, all right? So this is the arms race, the weapons race in the NBA. Big moves at the buyout. LaMarcus Aldridge, 7-time All-Star, agreed to sign with the Brooklyn Nets over the weekend for the rest of the season. Meanwhile, Andre Drummond signed to the Los Angeles Lakers. So you have two big players making big moves. And they're both trying to pursue championships, which obviously when we saw LaMarcus, we're like, whoa, the Nets are stacking up. And guess what? The Lakers were like, hold my beer. Yes, you nailed it. Well done. Well done, Jugan.
This guy's always ready right now. For anyone, I can say this is Chinee.
Hold my beer.
Yep, that's exactly what the Lakers were like when they heard that LaMarcus Aldridge was a Brooklyn Net. But when you compare these two, Junior, side by side, we've already made it clear that, you know, Andre Drummond is 27, LaMarcus Aldridge is 35. These guys are at different points in their career. But where do you think this impact sort of is going to lie, you know, as we come down the second half of the season?
I mean, I think for Andre Drummond especially, this is on his side with the Lakers much more of you're the life raft getting thrown into the water while they're drowning right now. This team is banged up. This team has looked bad without its stars and LeBron and AD on the court. So Drummond's got to come out there and shoulder a lot of the load on that one. We know, and you described him earlier, dude's been a walking double-double. He's one of the best rebounders the NBA has seen in quite some time in that spot. And he's going to have to go out here and probably, quite frankly, shoulder more of the load than he is capable of at this point in his career based on the kind of player he is. But they don't have many options right now, Janae.
Yeah, they don't have many options, but they've sort of figured it out. I believe the last two games, they won their last two. Previously, they had lost a couple. So slow and steady, they're trying to have this supporting cast step up. But yeah, I mean, he clearly has a lot to deal with right now. Mind you, I think they said he hasn't played since like February because he was trying to work towards a buyout. Everyone's like, if you're fed up and you're older in the NBA and you're in one of those markets where we don't see you, they're like, you know what? Is it worth it? I've already stacked up, made a lot of money on the front half of my contracts. Is it worth it, or should I put myself into relevance? And Andre Drummond going to the Lakers, that's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Not only, like you mentioned, Junior, for the time being, but I think down the stretch, you know, a lot of people have this idea around Anthony Davis, which really breaks my heart because I'm someone that has dealt with injuries. But like he, you know, people say, oh, is he injury prone, this or that? Well, guess what? Andre Drummond will help you through that so that he doesn't have the pressure of having to be there out there every possession. Similarly, LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, look at Junior. That roster is ridiculous. Did people counted the All-Stars? 40 All-Star appearances amongst the people on their roster. Like, what is that? Some teams probably don't even have that as a franchise overall.
It's alarming, Janae. It is interesting the way people have looked at that, because even when we went back to the Blake Griffin signing, I wasn't, like, no one was realistically calling in a big four, right? Like, we know who the three main guard. Yeah, the core four and all that. Like, it's KD, it's Kyrie, it's James, and then these other guys are coming on here because they see where this is going. This is going towards the championship ring. But I love the people who have been coming for Kevin Durant in all of this and that he feels like responding. Someone tweeted at Kevin Durant and said, why does he always have to come to Twitter after he makes a move? Make me feel like he's insecure about the moves he makes. If you're going to get five All-Stars that can know, I'll play in the finals without you, then do it. But stop making moves and then coming to Twitter, which KD said, I came here because I knew y'all would be here crying, and I smell blood in the water, so I'm here to fulfill the prophecy. Like, Chiney, remember how uncomfortable LeBron was being the bad guy when he went down to Miami? KD seems like he might be enjoying this a little more now that he's already got that championship out of the way in Golden State.
The pressure is off almost too much because it's like, KD, when you coming back?
Like, yeah, right?
Like, we've gassed KD up, rightfully so, to the point where it's like, all right, bro, like, you gonna come back soon? Because we think that he could drop in the middle of a series and bam, Brooklyn wins the championship. But the reality is chemistry takes a while to build. And that's the big question mark. A lot of people ask me today, especially on SportsCenter, Chiney, look at the roster. Who do you think is better now? If all healthy, all parts are healthy. I was like, clearly the Brooklyn Nets have the better roster, top to bottom. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin. If you get them playing at their max potential, even LaMarcus Aldridge, my goodness, that's crazy. But there are a lot of floating factors that affect this team. They haven't had the continuity that most teams need to sort of make a postseason run. They have dealt with injury bugs or now, you know, family personal situations that sometimes you don't know what you can expect, which makes James Harden, what he's been able to do this season, just that much more commendable. But the Lakers don't have that problem. They sort of just have this idea that hopefully AD is back, and when he comes back, he'll maintain his health. LeBron James, get your rightful rest because you deserve that. Let's be real here. And we just won a championship based off of our chemistry. So we're going to be all right. And we added, you know, more rim protection. A lot of people forget JaVale McGee was instrumental for them, you know, pursuing blocking shots and stuff like that. So was Dwight Howard. So much so that he Joel Embiid was like, come play with me. I'm trying to win a chip. And they're doing, you know, their part in Philly. So I just think that what helps one team is what is probably hurting the other when it comes to these contenders, which overall means it's anyone's championship this year in the NBA.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake. I want to play you this, though. Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA insider, talked about the long-term look at all this, and he is a little less high on Andre Drummond in Los Angeles for the long-term of what this can mean.
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll play when they're fully whole in intense moments, because I believe that the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis plays center. But he's so fragile with injuries that you don't want to play him a lot there. And so the Lakers haven't invested a lot in their center position over the last couple of years because they know they sort of have that trump card they can go to. So in the interim, Andre Drummond is one of the best rebounders of the last 25 years in the NBA. The guy rebounds at an all-time elite level. And so you will see that definitely make an impact. And he can score. You know, and the Lakers at times, especially without AD and LeBron, I mean, they have difficulty putting the ball in the basket. So short term, getting a guy with that kind of offensive talent, I mean, it can't help to improve them. I don't think it's a game-changing move in the grand scheme of things, because when, like I said, when they're whole, I don't think he's going to be out there when it matters. And if they're not whole, it's not going to matter.
Chiney, is there any part of that that you're buying from Brian?
Yeah, I'm disagreeing with probably, I'm 50-50. Like, it may not be a game-changing move for the Lakers, the same way that LaMarcus Aldridge may not be a game-changing move for the Nets. But what it does provide is a lot of people have slept on this man, Andre Drummond. I mean, I've seen him when he is dominant, like he said, one of the best rebounders in the NBA. And if he brings tinges of that, that paint is going to be untouchable. For real. Like, the way this man gobbles up rebound after rebound after rebound. And he has a reason to actually play motivated now leaving Detroit. Like, that's the difference. When you're 35 going to the Brooklyn Nets, like, all right, how much do you feel like you have to prove? Nah, it sort of seems like, okay, maybe we're just going to win a championship. For Andre Drummond to actually be seen on television playing basketball at a high level, for the Lakers, with the Lakers being a piece that can help them win a championship, I hope that man just balls out.
I want to know what the side chat between him and Blake Griffin looks like right now. Like, man, we made it. We made it. We were locked away
I'm
for a long
city,
time.
City?
Yeah. Hey, how is it
city
for you
boys
out there? The City Boy summer is going down right now for Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond right now.
And we've got the captain here on Chiney and Golic Jr.
Live your truth, Kings. Know your worth. Speaking of kings and queens, by the way, it's time for our favorite read, because it is Women's History Month, and in celebration of that, pay tribute to Black Queens on the Undefeated on ESPN+. Explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPN+. ESPNplus.com. My favorite part of every day, that read coming up and on ESPN Plus. Chinna Achebe fully feeling herself out here, letting everybody know what it's really
Shannon,
about.
We're keeping that read for the whole year, okay?
I don't know how long it's going to keep showing up on our read sheet, but Chinna is going to be writing that thing in every day. We'll make good and damn sure we support
all that. I'm just
going to
put it in the Google Doc, okay? I don't care about y'all.
Chinna is going to bring that positivity to our Google Doc. Coming up next, it's time to go swim in the gutter. The NCAA tournament did happen this weekend, and it wasn't all That's coming up next. Losers from the top bottom five in the NCAA tournament next on ESPN Radio.
Chinna and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Stars really feel like they have aligned on a day like today. It's Chinna and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinna Achebe, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down this wonderful Monday. And I say that the stars have aligned because it seems like anytime the Brooklyn Nets make moves, we also have Mina Kimes already, you know, booked to join us here on Chinna Achebe Jr. And I'm looking forward to talking to her in about 10 minutes, not only about the 17-game regular season now in the NFL, but also about her Brooklyn Nets. I wonder if she's nervous, Jr., now.
I can't imagine the nerves have started to build up just yet, Chinna, because it's still low stakes right now. Mina and this group are just continuing to assemble pieces right now, strapping Infinity Stones to the gauntlet. They don't have to go out there and actually use them yet. So.
Very true. Low stakes for Mina, and they don't have to do that because it's not playoffs. But we do have postseason basketball in the NCAA. We've already given you guys all of the winners, and now it's time for Le Hoosers. So, Cliff, do you have the music for us? There we go. The NCAA tournament is going on, men's and women's. We talked about some of the highs, including facial hair, the Pac-12, teams succeeding, overall number one seeds doing their thing, and now it's time to go to the gutter. You ready, Junior, for the worst things from the NCAA that we saw just for fun? Not like this is the energy we keep, but like we just had to do it.
Listen, we have balance in the universe, as all things should be.
And we refuse to put Sister Jean on this list because we love our blessings, even though Loyola Chicago lost.
Let's start with number 5 and 6.
Number 5.
Because they might still show up in here. I can't confirm nor deny on this one. I don't know if I'm ready to go full Stu Gatz with this or not. But starting at number 5, Chinna, let's go with the ACC. And really, you could try to throw the Big Ten in there. Conferences that flopped in the tournament. The Big Ten started off this tournament with 9 teams, but the Big 12 and the ACC weren't far behind with 7 each. And that's including a no-show from Duke in the tournament this year for the ACC. And now, as we look around both tournaments, I kept looking, I kept double taking. The Louisville women, I believe, are the only representation for that conference standing here.
Ladies, all the conferences have bit the dust except the Pac-12. But let's go to number 4.
Number 4.
So, like, it's one thing I'm extremely grateful for, Junior, is the fact that when I lost in the March Madness, I was blown out, so I didn't have a painful ending. I knew I was playing UConn. The first shot I think I shot in the game in the Final Four was a 3. And I told y'all, I don't do threes. They had like 50-11 people in the paint ready to slow down your girl. So I was like, shoot, today's going to be the day we're going to go out big. Now let's talk about some painful endings in the tournament. What's worse, missing the shot to go to overtime as we saw Oral Roberts do versus Arkansas? Or would you rather lose in overtime like Alabama did to UCLA? Even though Alabama hit the shot to get to overtime, then you get to overtime and lose. What's the worst? What's the most painful ending?
Chinna, I'm amazed to hear that from you because this is the same argument I heard from a lot of people. Like, I am someone who got their doors famously blown off in a national championship game against Alabama.
Oh, yeah, that was a big one.
But people always ask, well, would you have rather have just not gone to that game at all? Hell no. I want to get as close to the prize as possible, even if it's ultimately going to get ripped away from me. So give me the shot to go to overtime. I'm never looking back. I don't want to clank out of the buzzer.
See, that's the difference between us two, boo-boo. But maybe it's just us dealing with our scars of Alabama and UConn. Juggernauts that we could not jump over. What do we got else?
Let's get away from therapy.
Number 3.
Number three, I got to put this on us and our other broadcast partners broadcasting the NCAA men's and women's tournaments here, because you sickos are out here, speaking of my athletic moments of failure, looking for these kids slipping up. The amount of times I see the camera pan in real close to see every individual tear leaving the eyes of these players right now. Like, you guys trying to catch these players slip, let them process their basketball mortality in peace on this one.
Nah.
I heard someone the other day say they had the audacity to say that's one of their favorite parts of the tournament is seeing the tears in that spot. I said, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Nah, I like it. That's a part of being an athlete. You win some, you lose some, you see the frustrations. Yeah, I know coming up this season, it's about to be crazy because my mindset is nuts right now to play basketball. And I know y'all probably be like, did she just say that? Did she just do this? And I think that's the fun part of the game. But yeah, the worst part is the crying. Yeah, the crying part. That's tough.
The best part is going to be watching Chiney inevitably pop off during the season at some point, because we're getting radio Chiney out here right now. I'm excited to see basketball Chiney back in the mix out here.
I think there was a year I led the league in fouls for a reason. Our favorite number.
Number two.
All right, this is a really big loss from a couple of, a week or so ago. Iowa State lost in the women's tournament in the second round to Texas A&M, and their head coach, Bill Finley, who I know pretty well, he coached me for USA Basketball. He's been a legend, a low-key legend in the women's game in the sense that he's been for Iowa State, I believe, for like 26 years. But now the unfortunate part is, while everyone was talking about support the women, especially after seeing the facilities when it came to the weight room, support the women, support the women, he took the chance, and he was probably the only person that stepped out and said, quote, right now the focus on the women's college tournament is the weight room. I find it ironic because our players don't like to go to the weight room, so they're probably glad there isn't a big one. What?
Huh? What? What are you... Chiney, I just couldn't make sense of this for the life of me in spot. Like, that's where you want to go. That's where you want to be when Jesus comes back, is using that as your line of defense
on
this spot.
I'm sorry. I'm out of words. That's like,
he went on to say that, quote, I think there's a lot of discussions about things that don't matter. I know there's an equity issue, and I understand that. I coach women's basketball, which, by the way, sounds like the new I'm a father of a daughter in this spot. But with all things that could have gone on in the world, the focus, I think, should be on all the effort made to make this possible to get our kids to play.
We agree, but still don't like lose sight of the bigger picture. For someone who has been in the trenches for 26 years to hear, it's like, well, our girls don't like weights. Well, like, no athlete likes weights, but we have to do it to be top tier at what we do. No one's gonna say I love to practice, even though like that's what you tell yourself even each and every day, and that's what we come to love. But it's a part of making us who we are, and that's great. And he should know that as a program. And so I heard that. I was like, no, why?
Yeah, we can say, as the father of a daughter, we should just be grateful. Like, it's just different versions of these same tired arguments in this spot that we don't want to deal with. So let's go to number one and get away from it.
Number one.
And I know we were going to mention Sister Jean, but her three-point percentage was abysmal, as was the rest. Whatever that was. The Loyola Chicago and Oregon State game. And shout out to Coach Tinkle and the Oregon State squad for moving on. Friend of the program around here. We are excited to see him still dancing in this right now. But Chiney, that was the nightmare scenario game that I always talk about when you have all these upsets, and we had them like it was going out of style at the beginning of this tournament. You're eventually going to get to this point where, oh man, these teams start to play like they're seeds, and Loyola Chicago ran out of magic and turned back into a pumpkin pretty quick.
Regression to the mean. Isn't that what we learned at Stanford and Notre Dame? The law of averages. It'll bring you back to where you need to be.
It does indeed. And listen, congratulations on their great seasons. It's not like we're not proud of everything that they've accomplished in the spot. We enjoyed the run and all that one. But I don't have to lie and say that I enjoyed watching that game or that it was visually pleasing basketball.
You can't lie in a segment with Sister Jean.
That's a fair point. Nothing but the truth around here. This was a confession. I told you that in confidence.
Oh, I was going to sing something, but I couldn't.
What?
No, I'm not going to sing.
Oh, man. All right, coming up next, we'll see if we know where Chiney is going on this and give you the song that she won't sing. But with another addition to the growing monster in Brooklyn, how thrilled is our ESPN NFL analyst and resident Brooklyn Nets superfan? We'll ask her next on ESPN Radio.
These are my confessions.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That's the song I wanted to sing, Confessions. And here's my confession that we just found out in the show break. Do you know what today is? Today is a very special anniversary for our show. In about 10 minutes, we will celebrate love. A whole score, which we discovered also today, means 20 years of love. But technically, I think 13 years, which, by the way, and I'm looking at him on our Zoom, is a great number. 13 years of love. What number do I rock, Junior, for the Los Angeles Sparks?
13, which makes sense that we're talking about scoring.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. It all comes together. I love it. And so as we keep that same energy, we will celebrate an amazing anniversary that we should have known about, but we just found out about. But right now, let's dive back into what we love about the NBA and maybe kind of sort of love about the NFL-ish. More games, but is that more problems? It's Chenea Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Chenea Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr., and we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we love to always talk to Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, also one of the co-hosts of NFL Live. And make sure you also check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the podcast. It's great. It's out there. And I think Junior is about to join it later on today, hopefully. Fingers crossed if I heard things right. Now, Mina, before we get to the 17-game regular season that's now official in the NFL, the Brooklyn Nets, they add LaMarcus Aldridge. And the Lakers now add Andre Drummond. As a noted Brooklyn Nets fan starting this year, where honestly, ever since you became a fan, the tides have turned, does that make you nervous what the Lakers just did?
Appreciate that. Appreciate the framing, because I have noticed that a lot of people, it almost felt like people were reacting more to the LaMarcus signing than the Drummond signing, which leads me to believe a lot of people haven't been watching basketball in the year 2021. Chenea, because you know, it's not 2016 anymore. I think the Drummond signing certainly moves the needle more for Los Angeles. I think Aldridge, you know, he gives the Nets more offensive versatility in their front court, but I would be surprised to see if he makes a meaningful impact. I'm actually kind of hoping he doesn't take minutes away from Nick Claxton, who I'm very excited about. But, you know, Lakers are scared. I get it. I'd be scared, too. I've seen what my Nets are doing. You know, it comes down to, is Anthony Davis going to be healthy or not? And this gives him a little bit of insurance, a little bit of playmaking till LeBron comes, everyone comes back. But I still like my Nets' chances. I don't think it's a massive deal.
Clamoring for Claxton minutes still. Mina, you really have slid into the role of Nets hipster very quickly and easily here. It's impressive stuff.
It's weird. I know. I know. The rapidity with which I became someone who tweets about Nick Claxton and Bruce Brown on the reg has stunned even me.
It's an amazing turn for Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst. But Mina, what wasn't surprising was seeing some of the facial reactions. Your colleague Dan Orlovsky was on First Take today, and they were talking about the 17-game schedule for the NFL and some of the reactions to proposed changes with how teams manage rosters, what teams do as far as player availability. I even heard Max Kellerman saying putting a cap on the number of games a player can play in should they keep expanding the schedule. But seeing 17 games out there now, Mina, what do you think NFL teams are going to have to do when it comes to managing the minutes and managing the bodies of the players that are affected by this?
I actually don't think there will be a massive impact. You know, you might see some teams sit players a little bit earlier than they normally would, depending on, you know, where their playoff prospects lie. But with quarterbacks, I think it's unlikely we're going to see a massive change. And you know, different from how we usually would, where the last game, if it's blocked, they'll sit. And I think that's really all the NFL is concerned about, quite frankly. This is a change. Like, it was kind of interesting to me to see people, sort of players, react to this, because we already went through this. This was negotiated. I'm not saying it's a good thing for players. Obviously, there's a compromise made there in the last negotiations that had to do with the money that's going to come in. But I think it's understandable. Like, it's so much more impactful than any of us, certainly anyone who's not actually playing, realizes in this particular sport. And there'll probably be unforeseen circumstances, but in terms of like competitive balance, team composition, how these games are actually going to play out, given the shortened preseason, I don't think it's going to be that massive of a change.
Team composition starts with the QB. Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. And we also had some fun news coming out of the NFL today. You know, the ones where you get to read the tea leaves, which makes things really interesting, as general manager John Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan was deciding on, you know, which pro day to attend. And they're going to Mac Jones's, while their assistant general manager is going to be going to watch Justin Fields on pro days. What do you think in this conversation here with the third overall pick in the mid? Should we be talking about Mac Jones potentially there? Or even in general, Mina, what quarterback should we be talking about at this point more?
You know, it's really fascinating because we went from asking whether Mac Jones should be a first rounder to asking should teams take in the middle of the first round to now looking at a 49ers team that's not only, you know, reportedly considering him at pick three, but traded a boatload of picks for pick three. And while we've seen teams in the past make those kinds of trades to move up for the quarterback, it's never happened for the third quarterback taken. So we're assuming that Jags take Trevor Lawrence and the Jets take probably Zach Wilson. Like, that is unprecedented. And it speaks to, you know, the quality of this quarterback class, but also I think the confidence that the 49ers have in whoever they like. Now, as far as who that is, you know, with Mac, speaking kind of to him, you see it. You see the reasons why they'd be excited about him, while Kyle Shanahan in particular would, based on his history of quarterbacks. Like when we were looking for comps for Mac, I my head often went to upside Matt Ryan potentially. That's like top, or Kirk Cousins, who are quarterbacks that he has worked with in the past. It makes sense. But it's also very unusual for a quarterback who's not mobile to succeed in today's NFL. A young quarterback drafted recently, it just has happened very infrequently. So I have my doubts about that pick there, but I also wouldn't be shocked if San Francisco does it.
It's amazing to see the climb and the rise that Mac Jones has had that Mina just described from the end of the season. And that climb started from winning a national championship. So a pretty good rung on the ladder to build from. Follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes. Check out NFL Live 4 Eastern every day on ESPN. And download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, Mina. Go Nets.
Thanks, girl.
Talk to you later.
Mina Kimes, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear
Hotline. That was a reminder for you, Junior. Like, don't be late to my podcast.
I'd say also a fair point on that one here. Busy evening coming up for your
for
boy.
For you. Sorry.
But coming up next, let's get busy around here because we have an important anniversary to celebrate and an important league getting back online in the 2021 season. We'll get to that next. Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Let me tell you this, we absolutely love here. We really do. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and I say we love because clearly we're really fans of the Bachelor franchise, right? So
facts.
We love on that regard.
Yeah.
We're both single young adults, and so we always strive to celebrate relationship goals wherever we can see them. And one great example near the hardwood was Russell Wilson and Sierra. I don't know if you caught them cheering on Anna Wilson, Russell Wilson's little sister, playing for Stanford and just doing the dang thing, like hoping, steals, defensive player. Like, I mean, I could go on forever. But Russell Wilson and Sierra, when you talk about sports power couples, they're relationship goals. In about a hot second, we will tell you the relationship goals of our show. And we didn't even know about it, which I'm kind of mad at, but it's all good. But before we do all of that, and as we keep that same energy, we want to say thank you to Ryan Hollins, who finally was back with us, 10-year NBA vet, and also host of the Opinionated Seven Footers podcast, which we should be like the Opinionated Six Fivers at ESPN. He joined us to break down March Madness and, of course, a little bit of NBA. very similar to what Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst, just did, who talked about Brooklyn. And then, of course, the NFL, as they now are expecting a 17-game regular season moving forward. And the big news, clearly, was when it came to the little bit of NBA, at the buyout, the Lakers add Andre Drummond, and then Brooklyn Nets add LaMarcus Aldridge to their bajillion other NBA stars on their roster, which feels like the arms race is fully on in the NBA. But I don't even care about that right now, because we love love. That's number one on our parents' priorities for us. So as we keep that same energy, let's talk about an anniversary. Let's go, Cliff.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Junior, let's start with Africa, and then we can get to love.
All right, I would say let's get official business out of the way here, because as we mentioned last week, Janae held it down, giving you all the news you need to know about African greatness going on in the world of sports. We saw more of it this weekend with Francis Ngannou winning in the UFC, but
Cameroon.
We also got the announcement out here from the NBA. The NBA's new Basketball Africa League is planning to make its long-awaited debut May 16th in Rwanda. This new league is going to have 12 teams playing from across Africa in its inaugural 26 games
Amazing.
In the Kigali Arena in Rwanda, rather than the initial plan of playing all over. Chinee, you mentioned this is a league that was supposed to get going last year, obviously affected by the pandemic, but what a great global ambassador program for the NBA in the continent of Africa.
Let me tell you what it has taken to get to this point. It has been tremendous. Amadou Gayo Fall has been the leader of basketball in Africa, working hand in hand with Adam Silver to expand the game there, and it's paid dividends. Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Victor Oladipo, the list goes on and on with African excellence on the court. And it really starts with creating those pathways, and you saw me get turned, creating those pathways on the continent. And that's what this, you know, league sort of represents. It's pretty much the NBA with the assistance of literally the NBA for Africans, bringing everyone together from different countries. This is just such a great move for the culture. And I cannot wait to see what happens. Like, it's going to be great.
And Janae, having that support from the NBA is huge, because we've talked about all the time and in a lot of different ways on the show today, having the financial backing, having the resource backing, and the name brand value to walk in and say, we are associated with the NBA. That's going to give this such a great chance to not only succeed, but to thrive and to give us more opportunities for players to grow in those ranks.
Junior, I've been on like 4 or 5 trips just for this, just to show the young girls specifically that this is possible. I've been to South Africa, Joburg, and Cape Town. I've been to Nairobi in Kenya. I've been to Kigali in Rwanda and the cut of Rwanda. And of course, I've been to Nigeria. And they've been talking about this league for years. As we celebrate this month, things that are hidden in plain sight, like the women's sports overall, you know, international game for those hoopers, like, this is a major win that hopefully will have ripple effects for the future MVPs of the league.
May 16th.
That's my pulpit.
May 16th, all of that hard work, get started with the BAL, getting going in Kigali, Rwanda. Keeping that same energy here on Chinee Ngola Jr. Chinee, let's celebrate love, but let's also remind people the First Take, Her Take is a podcast hosted by our very own Chinee Igwumike, who we do love. And Charlie Arnold snaps up for her, by the way.
Charlie.
Signing on full-time with ESPN, as announced today, a nice multi-year deal. And Kimberly A. Martin, our great ESPN NFL insider. Great sports debates and stories, delving into personal lives and more every Wednesday. New episodes.
Let's delve into the most important personal life of the show. Our producer, Shannon Penn, who, when we talk about loving love, he is celebrating his 13th anniversary with his lovely wife, Yamina. Amazing. Like, this woman is a force. I don't know anyone that has handled the pandemic better. I see all what they do on the weekend safely and social distancing, having all these adventures. I'm like, dang, I got to be like her. No offense, Shannon. I got to be like him. Their children are beautiful. Like, they are winning. Congratulations and happy anniversary. How do you feel, Shannon?
Oh, well, first and foremost, thank you very much for the kind words. And I would like to quickly say this, because I know Yamina's listening, that every time around this year we talk about the NFL draft and folks getting the number one overall pick, But for me, it's also a reminder that I got the number one overall pick in life each and every spring. So thank you very much. And with that said, we'll have a shortened post-show meeting because I got to go cook.
So. Yeah, hey! There we go. Say no more in that one. We're letting the kids out to recess early so the mom and dad can enjoy their time. I was going to say, Janae, I saw that one hit you right in the feels. Shannon, best believe I will be banking that number one overall pick for Lifeline to hopefully one day use on My Progress to
Do
Love.
Do you know what today is?
It's their anniversary. Happy
anniversary
to Shannon and Yamina. Many, many more years to come, but a happy 13th anniversary there. Spain and Fitz next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.